Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Paul Hamilton.
The way they played last night, they definitely would have come out on the top side. But, Tampa Bay was, they were eager, they were hungry, and they wanted to make sure that they, that was Paul. They just put out the buffet.
On WGR.
Go ahead, Paul. You can go get a plate.
Oh, okay. Oh, my.
So, yeah, I thought they were great.
Sports Radio 550.
Ralph Krueger named coach of the Sabres today. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Let's talk to Paul Hamilton about it. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Are you impressed with what you heard today from Krueger and or from Jason Botterill?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to see how it all breaks down, obviously. But, you know, Krueger seems excited about it. I kind of liked how he wandered around downtown when he was here.
Right.
Walked into the bars, talked to fans, sat down. You know, had beers with him, and then, you know, the next period walked on to the next place and did that and just kind of got a feel for the whole city and everything, and I thought that was kind of cool.
Now, far be it for me, Paul, to question you, but shouldn't you have been in those bars just in case that happened? As a reporter?
I'll know better next time.
Next time there's a coach search,
every day starting at 7 o'clock, I need to be in the downtown bars, hopping around.
Don't you think this is Paul's version of, or he might have this too, but I need to watch the game, honey. Like, I've got to.
Right. I got to go out.
I got to go out right now.
20 years ago, my chances of being around one of those places, if he, you know, I found myself thinking, like, is there, I'd love to guess. Like, where he said he walked, I'm thinking in my head, I don't want to say any of this really on the air, so I should probably stop, but, like, where the Sabres put them up, like, you might think the Marriott, but you might also think, if he's walking around Elmwood and Allentown, you'd think about the mansion right on Delaware would be a pretty nice place to stay. So I'm, like, guessing at, well, okay, maybe over to this place and then up the street that way, and, like, did he get to the old Pink and then call it a night? Like, what happened exactly?
Right, that Allen
Street.
He
did it two nights, so he could have been a different. He could have been in one neighborhood one night and did another neighborhood another.
He mentioned Allentown. Allen Street is one street where you can just do all of that.
You can hit a lot.
You can go place to place to place.
Right.
You know, like a Mother's, and just go around and work that little neighborhood there. Yeah, that might be, I might put my chips on that. Well, Paul, I mean, we've talked to him. He's been on the station twice. You've heard him, and I know you know a lot about him. To what extent do you think he qualifies as different? I mean, there are some things about him that are different, and there are also things that are not. I mean, he's Canadian born. He coached in the NHL. That's not by itself so different. So, how different is Ralph Krueger?
I think one of the things that people talk about is when he was in Edmonton, he would try things that aren't normally tried in the NHL, and some worked, some didn't. So he's willing not to be like, all right, everybody's got to play this way, you know, or everybody's got to play this way, or, you know, defense wins championships, except the Bruins and the Sharks are number one and two in goal scoring in the playoffs. You know, all those little catchphrases and all that. So I'm not sure he knows. I mean, he talked about it. He knows they have to tighten up their defense. I don't think any coach was going to get this job if he didn't talk about that, as bad as they were defensively last year. But if you do it right, it leads to offense because you're not playing the whole game in your zone. You're getting the puck out. You're coming up ice, and now you're getting in the offensive zone, which is leading to possession. So, fans shouldn't be, you know, scared of, well, we got to tighten up our defense. It actually will lead, if you do it correctly, will lead to more offense.
Yeah, I mean, look, this team needs help in a lot of areas, and obviously they need more goal scoring than what they've had. But my focus is going to be on the defensive zone and the kind of breakdowns that this team had, especially last year, Paul, where there were just, you know, wide open guys for tap-ins practically. Like that happened a lot. And, you know, I think with Bylsma, we had, it's too complicated and guys were bogged down. With Housley, I don't know that we had that necessarily. So I'm not sure what the biggest problem. I mean, you know, the quality of the player is one thing, and needing to upgrade that. But I feel like playing good defensive hockey is about wanting to do it. Like, there's a certain level of skill and talent that all these guys have. They're in the NHL. Do you want to do it? Do you want to pay the price to do it? Because it's not glamorous. It's no fun, you know? But the reward is that you're doing a good job, and you're helping keep the puck out of your net, and then you can go play at the other end. So I feel like that's a big part of the defensive game, is just awareness and maybe, I don't know if desperation is the word I want, but a want to actually do it.
Well, this team is horrendous in awareness, and you know, you hear me talk about this quite a bit, hockey IQ. I mean, it's not good at all with some of these guys, and I have no reason to believe that it's going to improve with a couple of these guys, no matter who the coach is. I just think, you know, a guy like Rasmus Ristolainen, he thinks there's a way the game should be played, and that's the way he plays it, and he doesn't care really what the coach says. That's the way it's going to be played, and there are times where you just, or at least I do, I sit there and go, what are you doing? Why are you going to the corner? Whoa. You know, and it just doesn't seem to matter who mm-hmm. the coach is. I did it when Dan Bylsma was here. I did it when Phil Housley was here. I did it when Ted Nolan was here. I just seem to be saying the same thing over and over again. So, you know, with certain players, I don't know if the coach really matters. I think you just got to come to the realization that, you know, they're going to do it their own way.
Do you have anything on the international game versus the NHL? And maybe, because we're always seemingly talking about or hearing about how the NHL has changed, whether it's changed toward the international game, maybe you could explain that a little bit. Even with Ted Nolan. I mean, Ted Nolan was in North America a long time, but he was also an international coach, and maybe even there's something from those two periods in Sabres history that could also relate.
Well, what coaches do in the international game is they use the extra ice. So a lot of their teachings and what they do is using that extra ice. You know, well, we can go wide here, or, you know, we have more time to be able to accomplish this play. And it's difficult to bring it here because you don't have that kind of time and you don't have that kind of space. And that's why, especially in the beginning when international play started, people were saying, well, the NHL's so much better. Why are their players having problems when they're coming over? Well, part of the problem is they ignore that extra ice out there, and all of a sudden you got people popping around you, but you're not used to, and it makes it into a whole different game. So I think in international play too, some coaches, depending on the country we're talking about, play it tighter because they have to, because they don't have the talent where they can roll. I mean, you can watch it in these world championships. I mean, Great Britain, France, if they're even going to make a game close, they basically have to, you know, hope to play good defense and hope that maybe they're going to get a break that's going to turn into a breakaway or something for them that way. So it's, you know, I think the ice service has a lot to do with it.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline with us here. The Sabres have hired their 19th coach in history, and Paul's appearance with us, as always, is brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. What did you make of Bottrell volunteering that Jeff Skinner was obviously interested in knowing who the next head coach was going to be? I thought that was a interesting little nugget that came out of today. Maybe not that little.
Yeah, I think he felt it's pretty obvious. I mean, if there's a coach that he doesn't think he can combine with, or, you know, that, you know, hey, if he's going to, you know, commit to, he didn't say 8 years, but I'll say it, if he's going to commit to an 8-year contract, he certainly wants to know who the coach is going to be. I get that. I understand that. And that's why I think that kind of came to a standstill. They had to, well, all right, let's get the coach first. Let's call the coach, talk Skinner. Wouldn't be surprised me if they bring Skinner in. You know, when Kruger gets here after the World Championships next month, and you know, they sit down and talk, and you know see what's going on. It wouldn't shock me at all if he comes in here and does that. So, I think Bottrell, the reason I think he brought it up is I think he just feels it's obvious that, you know, anybody that's going to make that kind of a commitment wants to know who the coach is. And you know it's not that he's hiring the coach or anything like that, or had anything to do with it. It's like, all right, Jeff, we've hired our coach. This is who he is. We'd love for you to come to Buffalo and talk to him and meet him and, you know, get a gauge for him.
How many of these Sabres players do you think have met Ralph Kruger or know really anything about him beyond what we know?
Probably none. because, you know, the last 5 years he hasn't even been in hockey other than the
Team Europe,
World Team, and I don't think any of them would have been with him there.
No.
So I'm trying to think back real quick. No, none of them would have played on that team. So probably none of them, unless they've run into him somewhere else in a setting that you wouldn't think is a hockey setting. But he's going to get together. He's overseas right now. He's going to get together with Reinhardt and Eichel while they're over there, and get to know them a little bit and have his initial meetings with them, and then come back here and start figuring things out.
The closest you might come on any of that is Vanek. Was on that team, and it was on the station today raving about Kruger. And if you assume that he and Pominville have a relationship, then maybe Pominville has talked to Vanek about this guy, or would have already, now that he's hired, been able to get some intel on him. Other than that, I don't think there's any real trail of breadcrumbs to follow there.
And Thomas Vanek, by the way, would love to come back here and play. He's been trying, I think, through two general managers now to come back here and play. It hasn't worked out for him, but he wouldn't mind.
Thanks, Paul.
Yep, take care, guys.
There you go. That's Paul again on the Western Hotline, and his appearance, I just said this a second ago, but I'll say it a second time, brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers.
We probably forgot once, so that's fine.
Yeah, right. I like to be thorough if I can.
A listener on Twitter says that this person would like us to name the 19 coaches. You think we can just do that? You think you and I can together, like in pretty short order, name 19 coaches without checking, without looking?
Sure.
You think we can name them all?
Yeah.
That doesn't have to be in order? All right, you go for a while. You do some, then I'll do some.
Okay. Floyd Smith, Joe Crozier, Ted Sater. Marcel Pronovost.
It's not going to help me. Just order.
Punch. Punch, right. Thank you. Rick Dudley. Scotty Bowman. Craig Ramsey. Roger Nielsen.
Nielsen.
John Muckler. Roberts. Jimmy?
Jim Roberts.
Jim Roberts.
Jimmy Roberts. 81, 82.
Thank you.
All right, I've got 11. I'll do some.
Okay.
Ruff.
You would.
Ralston. Bylsma. Nolan.
Twice.
Housley. Kruger. Bill Inglis.
17, I think, now.
18.
18.
19. 18.
So.
Shoney?
Did that happen?
Yes, that happened.
Okay, then.
That's 19.
That's 19, then. I think that's
how'd
it.
How'd we do, Joe? Is that right?
That's it.
All right, there you go, listener. You got it. You got what you asked for.
Was Shoney, like, Bowman?
I'm going to guess like 85.
Okay.
And not for long.
Right. Yeah, perfect. 85, 86. He coached 43 games, record of 19, 19, and 5.
This is pre Have Another Donut.
Right.
Pre Jersey.
Right.
Know that one, Joe?
Yes.
No Have Another. You do know that
he
one.
He shoved the ref, and then the refs, or not really shoved.
I don't know if there was shoving. It was just.
There was some contact.
There was some yelling.
Yeah, yelling, and then he showed up to the next game, even though he was suspended, and the refs refused to ref the game.
You know this better than I do.
I know the story.
Koharski was the ref, wasn't right. he?
And then the replacement refs were wearing, like, yellow practice jerseys. It's a great story. I love it.
Wow. I don't remember replacement refs.
I don't either. I just know him yelling at the guy in the tunnel there.
I think it was like a TSN thing on one of the anniversaries of that. Yeah, there was the original refs would not ref that game because Schoenfeld wouldn't leave the bench. So they had to get other referees to do it, but they didn't have their equipment or their uniforms, so they had to wear yellow practice jerseys.
Wow.
Hmm.
All right.
So, yes, I do know it.
Well, it's finally over, Coach Watch. Now what? Now we will hear more about Ralph Kruger, read more about him. But most of what happens now happens in the back. it's Botterill and Kruger and the Sabres figuring out what to do. You'll have the draft in about a month, a little more than a month, right? And then free agency. And then another long break. Some trades maybe within that, of course. I would. That's always fun. Trades are fun. We would want trades. Our team is bad. We want to get good trades. Kruger, for that matter, did say today. Now, I don't know like how different this is than any other coach or most coaches, but he said, like, no, we want to compete and be good now.
Right.
There was no talk. He dismissed the notion of rebuilding in one question and like, no, this team should be able to compete.
Yeah.
That's almost a quote.
Yep. Yep. And I did read, I mean, there's just been so much today, so it's hard to keep straight, like, which quote is from which venue. Because both guys did, Botterill did a news conference, Kruger did two different phoners and a news conference on the phone. But I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that Botterill said that Kruger would have a say in personnel decisions, like that they whatever they're going to do to the roster, that he would be. And like, you know, I don't know, you might take that for granted, but I don't always get the sense that Housley was like that involved in what they were doing in that area.
Well, I think you can assume that Botterill trusts Ralph Kruger. He's known him forever, maybe.
Right.
So his dad was a teacher, and Kruger was a fifth grader in his dad's class when they met. I don't know when they met, but they're both from Winnipeg, and Botterill is younger. So maybe before Kruger goes to Germany, I don't have to swat at this. We'll find out eventually. Maybe somebody knows, but they go back. And Kruger, in a sense, you know, in terms of his age at least, is older, and I would think that Botterill even maybe looks up to him. I could see it being like that. So, yeah, I'd want to think that he would be heard in that way. What I'll be waiting to find out is just to what extent this is an announcement of a new way of being for the Sabres. It may not be one at all. This is a hockey coach that Jason Botterill has known his whole life. And it may not be one at all. He's an interesting and maybe different sounding guy with a different background, but it may simply be, hey, this guy coached the World Cup team or the Team Europe to the finals of the World Cup of hockey and is coaching the Olympics, and that's good enough. So it may not be, but if it is, I mean, that would be really exciting to me. I'm, you know, still waiting for a Buffalo team to sound like and seem like the teams I read about when I'm not here. Like, just sort of what they're doing and operations and all kinds of different things. And I feel like this is the guy. This is just the guy to take you there if you let him. And I am optimistic about, with their relationship, him getting that kind of authority and freedom. Now, in specifics, what all that means, like, I don't know. It could mean a lot of different things. But I think it's pretty exciting. Now, Coach Watch is over. This is the guy. What do you think? One person has called today, and he was mad. 803-0550 is the number. I think the bottom line with fans, and I'm one of them, I'm a season ticket holder, has been these are bad times. You know, last season, another year missing, not even close. These are bad times. And is it possible? It is for me. But is this the case for most fans? Is it possible that this turns that around, like, significantly? Maybe it doesn't. A lot of people will say, who is Ralph Kruger?
Yeah, I don't think it accomplishes much in that way. Where it could get good for him is if they find their way whenever they get back together. I think I heard after the combine, Botterill is going back to Europe for this Team Canada responsibility, and that's into the end of May. And I don't have the dates for the combine sitting in front of me, but I saw it's another one of these things, just a slew of Sabre information on my Twitter feed today.
Just right before the draft.
Okay, that they plan to talk Skinner with Skinner's representation during the combine, at the combine, something like that. So If they find their way to landing Skinner before he gets to the free agent negotiating period or just July 1st period, Kruger will probably get some credit for that. And like that'll enhance his standing perhaps with the fans, because it's now known that he was interested in who the coach was. You hear Paul talking about it would make sense for them to get together. So if Skinner ends up coming back here before free agency opens, I think Kruger will maybe deserve a hat tip on that, because he had a part in sort of re-recruiting him.
Maybe. Like Hoosiers, which coach will get Jimmy to play? Will Jimmy play for Norman Dale? Will Jimmy play for Ralph Kruger? 803-0550, the update next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
UGR.
That update, by the way, was brought to you by Northtown Honda. Come experience the best way to purchase a car. Easy to get to from all points in Western New York. Start shopping today at northtownhonda.com.
Tomorrow, Greg Wyshynski. Friday, Devon White. He's on the Bison staff, if you didn't know. You mentioned the Bisons are home tonight. It's raining here in Amherst right now, but I don't know. Should you worry about that? Memorial Day looking, I'm just going to say that rhetorically. Memorial Day looking still like mid-60s. I'm feeling the pressure. I'm starting to get a little bit nervous about the lock of all locks that Memorial Day is always a perfect weather day, or close enough to perfect. Like it doesn't have to be like 77. Right now we're looking at 66, partly cloudy. It's playable, but it's not, I can't call it even close to perfect. Like, it would have to be warmer than that. I'm going to need at least 8 more degrees.
You're also sitting on 20% chance of precipitation.
That's okay.
It's a chance.
There's a chance. Yeah, you're right.
How's the weekend supposed to be? Do we know that?
Like, that weekend?
Yeah. Like, because that matters to me a lot.
From Weather Channel, Friday 70, Saturday 69, Sunday 68, Monday 66. Tuesday 68.
Gonna snow any of those days?
Thunderstorms on Saturday.
Okay. Like, I mostly need a good weekend. Like Monday, I'd like Monday to be a nice day too, but like Monday, I'm thinking about coming back to work already. Like, give me Saturday and Sunday. Like, that's the meat of the weekend there. I need good days there.
Yeah, Monday's kind of can be a recovery day depending on what the weekend is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This Sunday 73. That's on Grand Island. It's probably colder where you live. I mean, everybody. If you don't live on the island, it's probably not as nice weather-wise.
Tropical island.
It's way better.
I don't know. I just checked my weather app a little bit ago, and it said a high of 75, and that was for Buffalo. So, yeah.
Probably wrong. Ralph Kruger, named coach. Anybody want to say anything about it? 803-0550. We've been doing a lot of talking about it. It'd be only fair for you guys to have a chance to. I'll say again, as a fan and season ticket holder and somewhat, this will surprise you, of a even cynical one sometimes. I don't like that word. I don't feel like I'm cynical, but I'm definitely critical. I like this a lot. I like this a lot. It wasn't, you know, I'll be flipping sometimes and be like, just hire anybody from, there's just thousands of people that might be able to do this job for you. Just think differently. And I don't know if this is really that or much of that, but it works for me. It works as that. There is apparently a long family history between the Botterill family and Ralph Kruger. And I am glad for that as I sit here right now, because I think this sounds like a very interesting guy. Like, I bet he's got a lot to say about a lot of subjects. One of these kind of guys. Now, does that mean a winning team? Who's to tell you that anybody in this conversation at any point means a winning team? You know, like, it's just, you can't do it. I mean, I can't do it. I asked Travis Yost about this on Friday when you were off. And like, so how do you actually figure out whether a hockey coach, an NHL coach, or a candidate will succeed? Like, how do you predict it? And I only remember his answer for being about how the Sabres have had unfortunate timing or maybe even like bad luck with it. I don't know if he used that word, but you know, you were not there to pounce on Quenneville and other sort of examples like that. I don't remember him really saying like, this is how you do it. Boudreaux is somebody that he mentioned.
Right, right.
And he's mentioned Boudreaux with us before as somebody that pretty much only wins.
Yeah.
So like that seems, you know, right. Like you might want to predict wherever he goes.
Yeah.
That you might have a winning regular season. That's good enough for me. I mean, the playoffs are just so random and short. I mean, short series. I don't need to care about that to judge or try to predict these things. So, like, I don't know how to do it. But I want to think that the Sabres will sort of just, like, grow up. And I feel like this could be a good choice in that way.
Yep. I've said frequently here over the... It's a little more longer than a month here, right? It's a month and a half, whatever, however long it was. Early April, Housley gets fired. And you know, you can go hire a recycled guy. McClellan was maybe the first horse out of the barn on that front here as far as names we heard about. He was in town for the Frozen Four. That was pretty shortly after Housley had been fired. So, okay, well, that's a recycled guy. Well, there's all these college teams. UMass is here. That guy's turned UMass around. What about the Providence coach, Nate Lehman? Like, well, college coach, I don't know. He's going to be too scared of the players, these empowered millionaire players. Okay, well, then AHL coach. Well, you know, you need experience. Oh, okay. Gromberg. Oh, he's only coached in Europe. Like, no matter what they were going to do, like we as a fan base in general overall are in a pretty bad spot with them. We're just run down here. And so, you know, you can pick at almost any decision they were going to make, and this is no exception. You know, the guy's not coached a full season in the NHL as a head coach ever. He's been on an NHL bench for 2.5 seasons, basically. You know, coaching international hockey is not coaching North American season-long, you know, September to April or May. It's just a different animal. So, like, you can pick at it, but I think that if you do a little reading on this guy, not just the tweets that are piling up from people saying that they love him and they had great experiences with him and he's a great quote and he's interesting to talk to and all this stuff, but just his path is one that lends itself to, I think, just believing, accepting that this is a creative, intelligent man who has had a lot of different experiences and I think brings a lot to the table as someone who is chiefly going to be in charge of communicating with the players and trying to extract the very best out of them. Like, that's the job. And I think his background, it makes me optimistic about that with the experiences he's had. And it seems the amount of charisma that he has in talking to large groups, small groups, groups of players in locker rooms, and groups of people at conferences. I think communication is a big key to all of this. And getting guys to believe in what you're telling them and listening to them and taking their feedback and using it constructively and just finding your way to best work with them and all toward, you know, team success. I think he checks a lot of boxes, you know, but that's me. You know, I didn't need Jacques Martin, and I didn't need, you know, the one guy that called us earlier is like, you need a hard ass to come in here and crack some skulls. So basically paraphrasing, like, I don't know. I don't think that works. I mean, I think that's 1975. So, you know, if you're out there and you think the Sabres are full of a bunch of entitled, millionaire, spoiled babies, I'm not here to tell you you're wrong, because they are definitely, a lot of them are millionaires, and they have lived a pretty, if you're a highly touted prospect from the time you're 16 or 17, life can be pretty good. So there might be some entitlement there. You got to live with that. Like, you got to work within that.
And yeah, just, that is most teams.
And just walking in the door and, you know, taking out your sawed off and blasting is not going to get the result you want. So it's a delicate it's really touchy. I think it's harder than ever to get that right, especially in this sport. Bob Stauffer earlier today talked about how like hockey is maybe the last sport to reach the port on this, that you need a different touch. And I think that's true, and I think that's what they've hired. I think they've hired a different touch.
803-0550. Here's Jonathan. Hi.
Man, I don't know where to start after listening to you two.
Are you there?
Come on. Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. There's a lot of noise behind you.
Let me walk out of this building here. I'm on side now. I was saying I don't know where to start with you guys. I was going to get on and accuse Mike of being what he denies, cynical, but it's only with the Buffalo Bills. I look at the similarities in the hires. The general manager and the coach have known each other for a long time, and because it's the Sabres, oh, wonderful. You guys are giddy over it.
Oh, you think this is a – you think that – you finally somebody called in to talk about this, and your problem is with us?
No. I'm fine with the hire.
Okay, then you're just calling to – well, I don't want to listen to that. I mean, they're trying to have a conversation about the Sabres hiring head coach, and you want to call the complaint department. I mean, I don't know. I don't want fans to have to listen to that. Like, you know, think of me or think of us, however you want. I don't apologize for feeling optimistic about this. I've been waiting for either of these teams to do something creative. And I don't think the Bills really did, but since you brought that up. But I will tell you every time, and have told you often enough times, it doesn't come up in literally every conversation, but you can't really predict it. People listen to this show and they think that any show you listen to, somebody or a lot of people who listen to it think the hosts sound like or seem like know-it-alls. You have to give opinions. And I probably go farther than I should to preface a lot of these opinions with, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know if this will work. I don't know if Jacques Martin would not have worked. Okay, is that good enough? But I am optimistic, and I've given reasons, and I feel strongly about those reasons. And the rest is we'll see. I thought Bylsma was a great idea. I thought Rex Ryan was a great idea. Like, I can, when these teams hire a new coach, like anybody else, you want to focus on the positives. You want to do that. It's your team. It's our team. So you want to do that. I want to do that. I mean, I don't like the idea of, you know, just like professionally beating up a hire before they play a game. I don't think I've ever done that because I just feel like it's too hard to know. It's even for these franchises that have lost so much, it's just too hard to know. So I don't want to, I think that kind of would be dumb and hard to listen to, you know, when it starts and you see issues, as we saw with Phil Housley quickly, as we, you know, have seen with other coaches. That's when, you know, you focus on that. Like, how is this going? I don't know. I'd like to think that more people are sort of compelled to talk about this. But you know what? One reason why they don't is they, you know, most people also recognize how challenging it can be to predict things like this. How do you do it? I mean, how do you predict whether your team's coach will work out? How do you do that? On the basis of who he is, not who his players are, but just who he is, right? You could have hired lots of different people here, and what is someone supposed to say about the chances of success? Like, I just shrugged my shoulders because I'm sort of answering my own question. I don't know. Like, I think it's tough to do that in any sort of intelligent way. I like what I know about this guy, and, you know, that's it. Your turn.
You mean me?
You, anybody. Like, yeah. We sit here every day, all day. Like, what do you think about this? And if people don't want to say they have no reaction to it at all because it's whatever it is, like they just don't or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I mean, you've done a great job there. I'm sitting here, I'm listening to what you're saying, but I'm distracted trying to figure out what compelled that guy to call He likes the hire, but has a problem with, in some way, the conversation that we've been having amongst ourselves. And, you know, I don't know, with our guests, with Ralph Kruger. I mean, I don't know. I just can't. I'm honestly stumped. I don't get it.
He's allowed to like it, but we're not.
Right.
Okay.
I guess I missed that. I don't know. Do I not like it the right way? I don't understand. I really don't. I could have saved us a lot of time. I honestly just don't understand.
I could have saved us a lot of time.
I almost want to give the guy my cell phone number. Call me off the air. I really want to try to understand like what the hell your problem is. I just don't get it. Whatever. All right. I think it just might be doesn't like us. Which is fine. You're entitled to that.
Yeah, of course.
So that's all right. Fine.
We'll go to a commercial.
I mean, you could have just said that. Like, I hate you guys. And hung up. Like, okay. Thanks for calling.
That also would have saved time.
You got
time.
The number. All right.
That also would have saved time. Ralph Kruger, your reactions are welcome. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, giving you ours. This is WGR.
Hey, get to WGR550.com for your chance to win a round of golf for you and two friends with Jeremy White at Batavia Country Club in Batavia, along with a prize pack from Michelob Ultra. It's something that they're going to be doing through the spring and summer. I don't think they've gotten out to play yet. They were supposed to hit River Oaks last week, but I think the weather prevented that. So they're backlogged a little bit. But anyway, they'll get you in. So it's basically a foursome, you know, three of you and Jeremy is the deal. You can find that at WGR550.com.
We didn't talk about the Jets today, or at least not yet. Maybe tomorrow. That's a weird one. The Jets tried to hire the Baylor coach before they hired Adam Gase, but they wouldn't let the Baylor coach hire his assistants or have at least total control over that. So they did not hire the Baylor coach, Matt Rhule, and then they went and hired Adam Gase, and then the GM kept being the GM and signed Le'Veon Bell, who reportedly Adam Gase didn't want, and now today they fired the GM. So is Le'Veon Bell on the trade market? Probably not, realistically, but what a messed up. I mean, there have been Bills situations kind of like that before.
Sure, Whaley took them through the draft in McDermott's first year and then got fired. You know, and I think we all, well, to an extent, I assume that McDermott did what he wanted in that draft.
Yeah, that would be different.
But still, they did carry everybody through the draft and then fire him right after it. This is, you know, a couple of weeks after, and yeah, it's kind of odd.
The way it fell, you wonder if they wanted to do it before the draft. Like, they may not have had any intention of doing that, but that's where it ended up. So the Jets, not a great look. We'll talk to Brian Koziol next. He'll have Sabres opinions, host of our post-game show throughout the season. And it's time for the Majors bet with the PGA Championship starting tomorrow. So it's Bulldog's turn to pick 10. We've got tiers now. It's very exciting and fun. Leave it to us. We'll do the show. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Brian Koziol after this on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.